You're listening to the Isaka Podcast. I'm your host, Safia Kazi, and today I'm excited to be joined by Frank Downs and Dustin Brewer. Frank is Senior Director of Cybersecurity Advisory and Assessment Solutions at Isaka, and Dustin is Isaka's Principal Futurist. In this episode of the podcast, we're talking about cybersecurity frameworks and the role that they play. So to begin, Frank, tell us a little bit about the cybersecurity framework landscape and just how many cybersecurity frameworks there are.
Dustin and I were having some discussions the other day. So as everyone knows, Dustin is the principal futurist at Isaka, which is awesome because, well, for a lot of different reasons. But personally, for me, whenever I have some weird ideas and I wonder if it's going to work or not, I then am able to go to Dustin and talk to him about them and be like, do you see this in the future?
I now have a legitimate reason to own a crystal ball. Like
you
before,
do.
I was just kind of a weird guy with a crystal ball, but now I'm a futurist.
Now so that he's got that title, it's totally okay. It's totally fine, right? They stop asking him questions about the crystal ball. There's a lot of other questions. So we were talking about different frameworks and what the idea of frameworks kind of constitutes and what they will look like in the future. Like, and that's kind of a vague way of discussing it. But right now, everyone and their friend has a framework. And I mean like everyone. If you take a look out there and canvas the landscape, and we'll just restrict ourselves in this instance to cybersecurity frameworks, there are a ton of them. Everyone seems to have their own idea of what constitutes a security control. Everybody has their own idea of what a good, quote, security practice is, right? And everybody thinks that you should be using their metric. What kind of was a aha moment for me was when we were at our most recent CSX conference back in November in New York, and we were working together in a leadership meeting. Actually, we were discussing at this conference the different types of frameworks, and we met an individual who was from Adobe. And Adobe has literally their own framework for cybersecurity that they think everybody should use. And they use it, but theirs is the best, so you should use theirs and so forth. And they've even started discussing this idea internally at certain parts. He indicated that if you wanted to do business with Adobe, you had to use this framework, right? Which kind of puts people in an interesting position. So when we were discussing this, I kind of like asked Dustin, what really is the value of frameworks? And there's a lot of different answers to this, but it's kind of like all over the place, right? When you talk to individuals, you ask them, but Adobe was talking about the idea of using this. Why is the answer to this? Because why are there so, it was a question to this. Why are there so many different frameworks out there? I've literally met people who, for their master's thesis, I'm like, we both know a guy, Dustin, who wrote a whole thesis. And I'm like, well, what's your thesis on? He's like, well, so you know what's really missing? The field really needs like a framework. Like, tell me more.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, something that tells you like just like good practices in cybersecurity. And it kind of made me realize why we have so many frameworks, right? Started my hypothesis. Because as we're looking, and thanks to a lot of the product owners here at Isaka, we get to do a lot of market research. As we've been looking to different products and so forth and discussing with different clients, customers, members, frameworks, I'm starting to see kind of this divergence. Either you understand the role frameworks play and how there are so many frameworks and you've selected a framework, right? Or you're in a company that's, and these are usually smaller companies and so forth, or you're in a position where you don't even know what a framework is. And at some point in your panic, you've gone, oh man, I better write something down, right? And then
any documentation.
I should maybe make some documentation. I feel for these people a lot because it means they've been rolling around for a long, long time without any kind of documentation. And I really wish it didn't take this much work for you to realize, hey, maybe we should have some documentation. And as a result, I think, again, hypothesis, patent pending, not verified kind of thing. I think in this environment, having these two completely kind of, there's very little middle ground, right? Like these two kinds of ends of the spectrum where you either know about frameworks or you come to realize, hey, maybe we should have frameworks and have no idea they exist. That's kind of how you get so many different frameworks. What do you think, Dustin?
I think, first of all, I'd like to know which master's degree program this person was at that he didn't know what a framework was by the time he was writing his thesis.
Right. That's a whole other podcast there.
Yeah. Another podcast, right? Cybersecurity, it's an up-and-comer, right? Academia hasn't quite gotten there yet, but they're working on it. But I digress to all of our academic partners out there, of course. I apologize. I think a framework is something that you really don't have to start applying until, and this can be definitely argued, but something that you really don't have to start applying until you're at a certain level in your career. So, for example, you're on a SOC 4. Your job is, let's say, to, on the computer incident response team, once you get a piece of malware, your job is to reverse engineer that piece of malware. Now, I'm sure there are frameworks out there for reverse engineering malware, but you've probably already got your own process in place for that, right? You have the tools that your company gave you or that you think are the best industry standards, and you do your job and you reverse engineer the malware and you write a report, and then that's kind of it. Then you start getting a little bit further along in your career and they're like, we want you to be the manager now of this SOC because you've done such a great job in the malware department. We think you can start managing a lot of stuff. So you jump up there and yeah, you don't know what frameworks are. You might have never used them before. Maybe you know what they are, but there have been so many of them that you don't know what to do. Now, to me, frameworks are kind of like, of course, recently I bought a new TV.
It's a good TV too. You have a nice TV.
So in my process, of course, of finding a TV, you do a little bit of research, right? And you see, okay, like, what do I want? Do I want the QLED, OLED? What do I want to do? And does refresh rate really matter? And so it's kind of like that with frameworks, right? Where you're trying to find the one that kind of already fits into what you're trying to do. Now, at the end of the day, for me finding my TV, all I did was call up Frank Downs and ask him which TV to buy. And he told me, and then I just bought it, right?
Okay, but it was a good TV.
It's a good TV, but I cheated, right? But for the most part, like, that's what you're going to do. You're kind of going to shop around and look, and you're going to get overwhelmed, and you might just stop looking, actually, after a while, right? But I think those of us who have been in the industry a little bit longer and are kind of at that level or have been at that level for a while, you know that that is kind of the way to do it. You kind of shop around, right? And you look for the best one, but then you pick it and you go with it. It's done. There's no, buyer's remorse.
TV.
Right? It's the same with the TV, right? You got buyer's remorse. You know what? Just keep with it. It's probably going to be okay. No, I'm just kidding. But for frameworks, it is kind of like that. No, you pick one and you start, right? And the other important thing that I think the other reason why there's so many of them is that frameworks are kind of meant to be somewhat broad, somewhat higher level, and not really not super detailed, right? Because we don't want to lock ourselves into a specific vendor. We don't want to lock ourselves into specific operating systems or specific firewalls or specific products.
Right.
They're very generalized. And in that, you can edit it, right? If you use COBIT, for example, you don't necessarily have to use each type of control within COBIT, right? Maybe you don't need to, or maybe your company has a different risk appetite for whatever it is that you're trying to control, or there's some other kind of mitigation technique within there that you just don't need it. So you can kind of drop that, right? And that's the point of a framework, right? That's what kind of makes them great, is the fact that you can take one from one industry, plug it into another industry, and get it to somewhat kind of work. It's more of one of those, to me, it's one of those like checklists. Like, am I thinking about this? Am I making sure that I'm paying attention to this area? Because in cybersecurity, so often we fail to do that. And that's where we find ourselves in trouble, right? Like, hey, our website was hacked. Who was looking at the Apache server? Nobody, because we were over here doing patch management. Okay, well, we need monitoring. We need all other stuff. And again, that's on a very granular level, what I just spoke of. But within, COBIT and within NIST, within ISO, there's going to be things that are like, make sure you monitor your Apache web server, or your web server in general, or any server that has a service that's forward facing. So I think that's why there are so many of them. It's because they are designed to be malleable, right? They're designed to be able to change into your specifics.
Which is really interesting too, because I'm going to use your TV metaphor in this instance, right? Because just like a TV, 90% of the time, unless it's broken, right? Once you've bought it and put it up, it's staying there. It's staying there for like at least 4 to 5 years, right?
Especially this really heavy TV that you talked me into buying.
Right. It's a
I'm only lifting
TV.
It up on the wall once.
That TV is mysterious. It's so paper thin, but so incredibly heavy at the same time. But like, you're going to get this thing. You're going to get this framework. You're going to do it once. And the first time you do it, you're locked in for like 4 to 5 years. I'll give you a perfect example. So when I'm not making podcasts at Isaka, right, I work with different companies and different organizations assessing their cyber maturity, helping them determine how prepared they are for an incident. And I always come up against, not always, but oftentimes I come up against, well, we need to make sure we include framework X or framework Y. Or framework Z. And what we do with the CMMI cyber maturity platform is the CMMI cyber maturity framework, which is great and it's awesome, but it's relatively new. So it's not everyone's using it. So then the response comes, well, I need NIST things and I need ISO things and so forth. Because in a lot of these instances, these companies have done, say, NIST CSF cybersecurity framework assessments to themselves, right? Or they've done ISO 27001 assessments and so forth. And once they've locked in, it's really hard to take yourself out of those frameworks. So just like once you've mounted that TV and you've got it running, you're going to stick with it for a while. What then not really paradoxically emerges, but maybe I'm thinking about the word ironic. Dustin, you can help me out when I help me out with this one. But then what comes out of this is even though everyone has their framework that they like to use, they want everyone else to use that framework too. They want a common thread that attaches them to everyone else. Why? So then they can do comparative analysis, right? So they want to be like, I'm better at cyber than these people, or at least I'm better than cyber than these people, because they want that comparative analysis either in their industry or in the field of cyber and so forth. But at the same time, they don't want to use, they're not going to leave their framework that they've already established themselves in, which makes it very interesting, right? And to continue on that thread with the assessments, what we end up doing specifically with the CMMI Cyber Maturity Platform stuff, we end up putting a bunch of frameworks in there, right? So we kind of have made this unifying framework that then at the end, when it gives you your cyber maturity, it also says, and this is where you stand in alignment with all these frameworks. Like we have ISO 27001 and 2, we have NIST CSF, we have 800-171 for the DFARS people. I just put in CMMC, so there'll be a CMMC practice analysis, practice gap there, and FFIEC. You're hearing me. It's like alphabet soup, right? Which gets back to there's so many. There's so many. And as Dustin pointed out, it's both broad, but it's also specific, right? It's broad in that the frameworks need to be written broadly, but everyone uses it specifically for them. So then it becomes kind of this nightmarish experience when you're trying to like have people work together and they have these different ones. And you'd be surprised with like some organizations, some people, not anyone that anyone would know, but they could get pretty vitriolic against like other frameworks. Like, why would you ever use that one? It's like, what is it? It's like the Mandalorian. This is the way, right? Like, this is the way we go. This is the path you should follow and so forth. So it really makes it interesting because as we're speaking, I'm sure there's yet another master's degree student out there writing another framework that someone somewhere might find and say, well, it's free. I'll use this one.
It's funny that you mentioned the kind of frameworks warring against each other. I was at the ISO 27000 conference in Paris last year. There were some strong ideas, let's just put it that way, against NIST and COBIT within those circles. And I think it had nothing more to do with the fact that they were just other frameworks.
Yeah. We were there to talk about that one framework. I'm not interested.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that offline, Frank. And maybe just a more positive spin on why we all would like for everybody else to use the same framework as us is not just a comparative analysis to say, hey, we're doing better than you, but also how are you doing better than me? With the kind of, I'd almost say, resurgence of the open source community, we're starting to use more open source stuff because we're figuring out that, hey, the stuff is all basically going through peer review by an open source community if we use open source stuff. So it's actually already gone through somewhat of a static and dynamic code analysis, right? So we can start using these softwares. So we're starting to use more open source software. We're starting to see our community starting to share more information. We're starting to see reporting getting better. It's not by any means great, right? We still have underreporting that's happening all over the place within cybersecurity, but it is getting better. And part of that, I say, is because as a community, I think we're coming together and saying, hey, we got hacked. We don't want you to get hacked. Here's what happened to us. Here's how we stopped it. With frameworks, it would be nice if we could think about going to a conference, sitting down with a buddy you just met, having a drink. What's your level at? Where are you at this? Where are you at with OS patch management? What's your maturity level with that? And they're like, well, I'm at 5. And you're like, well, I'm at 4. How do you get to a 5? Like, how do you do that? And then they would hopefully share the secrets, right? They would share share their practices. And that's how you learn, especially as you get up into the higher levels of cybersecurity. You learn best by talking to your peers, by doing networking at these different conferences and different places and finding out what your peers are doing. I think that everybody using the same framework would be great for that, because then you would just say, oh, we utilize this to do this. And right, we utilize the specifics to do this very non-specific thing within the framework. And then you're, okay, that makes sense to me. And then hopefully you take that back to your enterprise and then you implement it if possible, right? So I guess it's the positive spin, Frank, as opposed to the negative, I'm doing better than you, the positive.
Sure,
the positive. How, right. How are you doing better than me?
And how are you? It's interesting. If you find... And I mean this, if you find organizations that are willing to share like their, and they do, actually, I'll say that I've been at a few roundtables where it's like almost like a secretive Illuminati meeting at conferences, right? We're like, you've been invited to the security roundtable. It's almost like they're like, come at 10 a.m. breakfast will be served. And then everyone gets there, right? And then they close the door. I've seen them, like, people come in and they like kick people out. It's super awkward, but they're like, all right, what broke for you guys? Yeah. What didn't work for you? And it's understandable. They don't want to be very necessarily open about it, but it is something that, while I see on very rare occasion, does happen. Now, if we could figure out a form in which we could make those types of communications happen more, I'd say that'd be amazing, right? And getting to those with the different frameworks, they kind of help, because the idea is that these are controls that are born out of common experience, right? Like, all of them have patch management. I'm going to say probably, right? They should. I haven't read every single framework out there. I promise, specifically for cybersecurity. I know I haven't read every framework out there on Earth. I mean, they should have some kind of patch management capability, right, in it for your assets. But you'll see these, right? You'll see the common aspects, because they're born out of common issues. So, man, that doesn't even get into the like maturity measurements on top of it, too. Then there are so many different models. There are so many different models to measure your maturity against.
And it's interesting. So like Frank, I have another job other than doing podcasts at Isaka. As he mentioned earlier, I'm a futurist, so I have my crystal ball out all the time. No, I'm just kidding. But there actually are frameworks for foresight, right? Which is pretty amazing. But let's go back to the actual framework. So one of the things that we are trying to create here at Isaka is a framework for the implementation of blockchain. It's kind of interesting what happens when you get into a very specific technology. It becomes incredibly hard to not be specific, to kind of have that higher level view of a very particular technology. And so what kind of is ending up happening with this development is that we've gotten to a point where we're like, this is more than a framework. We don't quite know what it is. It is a framework. There's a framework portion of it, but it's something else all entirely. It's something else that's really turning into something great. Again, we don't know what it is yet. It's definitely a framework, but we think there's going to be some extras that come out of this as well. So we're really excited about it. But it is really hard to sit there and try and talk about a framework for a specific technology, right? And if you can just say, implement IT operations securely, that's great. But that's not, usually it goes at least a little bit more granular than that within most frameworks. But
control enhancements.
Control.
There you go, right?
Enhance controls. There you go.
You're looking for details. See enhancement 4. Oh, yeah.
That's right. But no, yeah, it's interesting, and I love being in the creation process, not just for what we're doing internally here at Isaka with COBIT and with the blockchain stuff, but also going to the ISO meetings. I mean, it's great because you have people who are just so intensely passionate about cybersecurity or risks or IT audit or whatever it is that we're looking at the framework for. It gets heated. It does. It's a little scary to see it. Nobody throws any punches or anything like that. It never gets physical. There are some heated arguments that kind of happen between professionals. But at the end of the day, of course, they always come to a consensus and everything turns out okay. And then, of course, they finish it and they publish it, right? But it's one of the reasons why I love working with that community, is because I just think that they just have this passion and they have a very deep understanding of the technology. And then, of course, it's hard for them to kind of step away from that deep understanding to say, okay, it works if we say this for everybody. If we say we can pull back, okay, we don't have to go into super detail. No, you don't have to do reverse engineering on an x86 assembly in order to do, you know, it's like, right. Okay, no, step back. Just say, conduct a code review. You don't have to, it doesn't have to go any deeper than that, depending on your technologies. But it's great to see, and I feel very privileged to be part of that, to be able to witness that level.
So for organizations that are interested in adopting a cybersecurity framework or maybe switching up the framework that they're currently using, what are some places where they can go to just get started, get an overview of the frameworks, and what are some of the things they need to consider when deciding on a framework that they might be using for a few years?
Look no further. Come choose ours. No, there's a lot of different resources that are out there. So first, you have to understand your business, right? And what makes sense for your business. Because at the end of the day, oh man, I might make a few cyber folks upset with this, but hopefully you'll understand it. At the end of the day, it's not security which runs the business. It's the business which runs security. And what do we mean? If business operations aren't happening, security is not funded. So take a look at your business, see what type of business you're in and what might be most applicable. A case in point I'll give you is, if you work with the Department of Defense, you're really going to want to start getting comfortable with the CMMC framework. That's the Cyber Maturity Model Certification Framework from the Department of Defense. Everyone who's going to be working with Department of Defense is going to have to be CMMC rated at different levels. Now, they haven't released it yet, but it is the framework itself is put out, not the mechanisms through which you measure your maturity in relationship to those controls within the framework. Another example, right, is if you are working for a bank or a financial institution, you are going to want to make sure that you have run your FFIEC CAT and some kind of assessment there with FFIEC CAT at some point. So it all depends on your business area. Then once you've determined what type of business you're in, there's a couple different places that you can go online. I guarantee you NIST has something for you if you're looking for some type of framework that's applicable. There are ISO is another great place. Naturally, ISACA. ISACA is great, specifically with COVID, because it doesn't just cover security. It covers like governance as well, which governance is part of security and security is part of governance. I get that. But it takes into consideration that not all other cybersecurity frameworks necessarily do. That it's got just one step more, like broadly. That's a weird way of putting it. It thinks of one step extra as far as it's not just what's done, it's how these things are governed and so forth. So I really like that as well. What about you, Dustin?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like Frank said, the first thing you really want to do is figure out what it is that you're trying to wrap your framework around, right? Some other resources out there, of course, ITIL, the project management body of knowledge, that's a good place to start looking to, again, depending on what you're trying to do. The other really important thing to take into account, though, is when you are going through and let's say you found, okay, it's time to do cybersecurity, right? Because I'm a cybersecurity person by trade. So that's, of course, what I'm going to go to. But let's just say that's what you're looking at here. So, of course, you have the NIST CSF. You have the specific ISO guidance that's in there as well with cybersecurity now with their, I believe it's, if I get this wrong, I'm really sorry, but I think it's 27,100. Something like that, somewhere in there, for cybersecurity specifically.
They're going to revoke you so fast.
I know. I got kicked out of the club just now. The other thing is language that you can understand, right? Because if you sit there and you read through the NIST cybersecurity framework and you're like, I don't get, like what? Like, what is it? Then stop, because that's not the framework for you. Find something that's more to your language. Find something that's more to something that you can understand and something that you're confident that you can implement. It would be really tragic if you chose a particular framework because it's what everybody else said you should do, and you jump in there and you don't understand what the heck it's trying to say to you.
Couldn't agree more there.
But I'm sure it could happen. So just make sure it's language that you understand, and then also make sure it's language that not only you understand, but something that you can convey to your CTO or to upper level management. So if they ask, hey, what do we need $100,000 to control this particular thing? What do we need that for? And you say, well, it's in the framework. And they read the framework. They're like, they're not going to read the framework, right? You have to tell them why, according to this framework, why something like that is important. So make sure it's something that you can articulate as well and be able to do business speak.
When I'm thinking of specifically the NIST cybersecurity framework, NIST also released a privacy framework that aligns really well with the cybersecurity framework. So do you think that that should be a consideration for cybersecurity professionals looking to see, is there a framework that's going to work best for all of our needs, or is it cybersecurity should just pick the framework that's going to work best for cybersecurity?
Oh, I like that. That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I think that a holistic cybersecurity professional will not limit themselves to one specific framework depending upon the needs of the organization. And I will use your example saying, hey, if you're handling PII, personally identifiable information, you probably should be considering some kind of privacy framework or privacy implementation. And the NIST privacy framework, I'm a fan, but I'm a NIST fan in general. Collected all their baseball cards. It's really nice. Yes, I think that holistic cybersecurity professionals should not just limit themselves to one. Especially when you consider the fact that it's like saying, oh, I just follow NIST, but I process credit cards, but I'm already following NIST, so I don't want to do PCI DSS, right? Or I follow NIST. Doesn't matter that like organ transplants and so forth happen in my facility. Well, HIPAA what, right? So I think that a prudent individual will understand that there are multiple considerations, and unless they're in a very unique, specific position, should not limit themselves just to one. That would be pretty dangerous.
And I think that one of the great things, again, about frameworks is that you can change them, right? You can pick and choose the parts that you want to put in there. So let's say you are using this cybersecurity framework, and one portion of that, and again, I apologize, I'm going to get kicked out of the NIST section here now too, but there's a section in there that says data at rest, make sure that it's, especially PII, is encrypted or something, or make sure you secure data, personal PII at rest or PII in transit. You can inject the NIST privacy framework into those sections. So you're almost doing like a framework within a framework, right? We're doing right. Like, it's like Inception here or the Matrix or something. I don't know. Kind of one of the amazing portions about frameworks is that you can inject a framework into a framework. I guess we can call them nested frameworks, right? And you can actually triple nested frameworks. So yeah, very cool stuff.
For you coders out there.
For you coders out there.
Thanks, Frank and Dustin. And that's all we have time for in this episode of the podcast. But if you're interested in hearing the monthly podcast with Frank and Dustin, be sure to subscribe.